Good series.
You're listening to Kent Biz Connect, the show that connects businesses in Kent to do business. Tweet us live at Kent_biz.
Well, good afternoon, everybody, and I hope you like the new Kent Biz Connect catchy theme tune. What do you reckon, Brian?
Oh, mate, we've got our own jingle now, haven't we? We've arrived.
We're getting all professional, aren't we? It's fantastic. And I guess the reason we've got that new jingle is to celebrate the fact that we're now a 90-minute show rather than a 60-minute show.
Oh, yeah, we're going the, in a football analogy, yeah, we're going the whole nine yards. We've got 90 minutes, hour and a half. And just before we do move on, I'd like to say a big thank you to James Dand, BBM Maidstone member, for actually composing that jingle for us.
So, top job, James. Thank you very much.
Well done, James. Mm. And there is a shorter version that we can use as well when we can decode it.
Yes. But, we're even going to have a half time, aren't we? I think
today. Oh, half time, yeah. No stoppage time. No penalties.
Bit of tunage at half time so that we can pop off to the gents and back and make ourselves a cup of coffee.
Absolutely. So we're going from 60 minutes to 90.
Yes.
This is the first show of our new format. And guest wise as well, we get two for the price of one.
Indeed. So joining us today, we've got the brilliant Brian Downton.
Afternoon, everybody.
Thanks Hiya, for coming, Brian. And Terry Seller.
Afternoon, everyone.
Slippery.
Good afternoon, Terry. So we're going to be talking all things financial planning and print as well. And can you just turn your mobile phones off, please?
Already have.
Martin.
Oh, what a knob.
So we're live on air and some of us have forgotten to turn our phones off. Anyway, we've rectified that now. But yeah, just going back to James and the thank you for our new theme tune. James is Empowerment Songs. So he is a songwriter by profession, and we'll take your brief, whatever that brief looks like. It might be a radio show jingle, it might be a corporate kind of anthem, and he will put words and music around that. So, thanks again, James. And, we look forward to playing your song every week moving forwards. So the format of the show today, I guess we're going to have two halves, as we've said already. We're going to kick off with some business news, aren't we, Brian, I think?
We'll try and find some news. We'll talk about news that's affecting Kent businesses and the people within it. We'll talk about events, not only forthcoming, but maybe some that we've been to that are worth flagging up for next time.
Always lots going on in the Kent business community.
Always. And at some point, we'll have a look at Brian and LTEL and see what's going on in the world of finance and print.
Brilliant. Okay, so where do you want to start? Do you want to start with some news? We've had some not so good news again recently, haven't we? Particularly if you live sort of in the East Kent area, I think, with two rather well-known high street retail brand names. So what's going on there?
Yeah, well, East Kent strikes again, doesn't it? So you're our East Kent correspondent and expert residing down there, place of running water and electricity sometimes and all that, which is good. But we've been seeing stuff up in the Maidstone area about what's going on down here. And I think Deal has affected Folkestone. There's something happening with Marks and Spencers. Mm. There's something happening with Debenhams. Mm. So give us the inside track on that, Martin.
Well, I think it's all kind of part of the general high street malaise that we seem to be suffering from in this country, regardless of what your views are. The fact is that these are well-established high street stores, you know, and brands. And unfortunately, you know, there seems to be a rationalisation going on across the board because I guess ultimately people aren't shopping in those stores anymore. And we're talking about Marks and Spencer and Debenhams closing down a number of their smaller, sort of more town-based, I would suggest, rather than city-based, perhaps, high street operations. So,
And is that kind of county-wide, or is East Kent sort of more affected? Because obviously we're reading that, but is it because, is there an element of some of the people in Folkestone and Deal and places like that actually don't really shop there anyway? Are they travelling to places like Canterbury and Maidstone and Bluewater? And
I guess that's the general trend, isn't it, all round? And, I mean, the Debenhams is a good example. I mean, they've built a large store at Westwood Cross in Broadstairs, and Westwood Cross is, you know, a shopping mall as opposed to a high street. So it is more of a destination shopping venue rather than the traditional high street, I guess. I guess that's the key difference. And you're going to tell us a little bit about what's going on in Chatham later as well, I know.
I think so. Brian, I mean, as a resident financial expert, how do you kind of see some of this stuff?
I think it's, in a lot of ways, it's inevitable. It's been going on for a number of years with the big retailers. But I think it's an opportunity for the smaller local businesses to get in there and fill the gap.
Yeah, good point.
So, you know, obviously they're not going to be able to take over the size of space that these sort of retailers are taking. But I think the high street is changing. You're going to get less and less of these big retailers and more local businesses, which is great. You know, there's you know, the old saying that, you know, if you spend money locally, it stays locally. So rather than lining the pockets of a big conglomerate, you know, the money is going to local people.
Yeah, couldn't agree more.
I think you're right. And I mean, a good example of that is Ashford Borough Council. They were at a networking event that we run at Supply My Business once a month with the FSB and the Ashford International Hotel. And they were talking about the fact that they're going to be offering pop-up shops. You know, as an opportunity for those smaller businesses to kind of get in and kind of test the market,
and
if it works,
to test the water.
So you're right. I think the dynamic is changing. It's just sad to see, you know, people that work for the likes of Marks and Spencers or Waitrose or whoever it is. They tend to be people that have worked there for a long, long time. And it's always sad to see anybody lose their jobs, but in particular, you know, people that have invested so much of their kind of lives, you know, into one particular career. So it's never a nice thing to see. We do seem to be proportionately more adversely affected in the kind of seaside towns around East Kent, as we always are with these things. But, you know, let's hope, as Brian says, something positive comes out of all of this in the long run, because it's obviously in the short term, you know, there's a lot of kind of pain going on. So,
well, a lot of it's kind of part of your routine and national heritage almost, isn't it? It's habitual. And I saw a couple of brief interviews with people that were saying that it's terrible that they're shutting M&S. It's been there since whenever, 1937. And one particular lady's been going in there four times a week for 50 years or something. And it's a social thing. And a lot of people meet there, and they meet in the coffee shop there and stuff like that. And so what's going to happen to that little community, I suppose?
But I guess, you know, the reality is, you know, they are a business like any other business, and if they're not making money from that business in a particular area, then, you know, they're going to close that store. And it doesn't matter whether you're a Tesla, who are a kind of a new world business, if you like, who are losing money hand over fist. I can't remember how many billions they lost last year, but it was an awful lot of money. Or an M&S or a Waitrose. And Waitrose aren't making any money at the moment either. So, you know, I would suggest it comes with the territory, the business territory today. And
it's all part and parcel.
It is, unfortunately. And that's the kind of the brave new world that we live in. And that's just the reality of things.
Unless they take drastic action, the whole business could collapse.
Exactly.
And then there's a huge amount of people out of work.
Yeah.
So.
Exactly. Yeah, it's true. I think, as Brian says, it's, you know, as one door closes, another one shuts, basically. And it does kind of give other people opportunities. So, yeah, on a serious note, I think there's the entrepreneurial smaller businesses. Someone will hopefully take that space, might be divided up into something, you know. And, yeah, it's opportunities there for other people, isn't it? Fill the void.
Yeah, well, let's hope so. So, should we move on? Because there's an awful lot going on.
Yeah, there is.
As always. I mean, we're now, Well, we're pretty much into May, aren't we? So that's...
As of Wednesday, we technically are, yeah.
That's the first 4 months of the year gone.
Third of the way through.
Yeah. I'm not quite sure where they've gone, but they've gone and we can't get them back. So, yeah, it just shows you need to make the most of every single day in the business world. So I'm going to start with BBN, Brian.
Oh, are you?
Which I know
it's very noble of you, Martin.
It's something that's very close to your heart, because I happen to be at a BBN Maidstone meeting on Friday last week. And I've got to say, it is probably... I've never been to a networking meeting where there's been more of a buzz in the room in the way that there was at Maidstone last Friday. It was quite incredible, actually. So, I mean, what do you think was the kind of the key to that on the day? I mean, they're always good meetings, but
yeah,
for some reason, Maidstone on Friday was just buzzing, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't know why. It's a mixture of things, and unfortunately, quite a few people have called me and emailed me about that particular meeting. We had six new people there, which is it's a bit strange. Just as it happened, as it worked out, we had six brand new people came, and all of them just took the time to come up to me afterwards and said, "What a fantastic meeting! What a great group, great bunch of people, fantastic mix of businesses. Can I sign up for the rest of the year?" Which actually is quite difficult to do that, because they're pretty much sold out as it was. But one of the interesting things I'd heard about, it was the Easter holidays, and a bit of a myth buster, but people are saying, oh, it's Easter, everyone's away, nobody wants to do anything. There was a few other networking meetings that had been cancelled, or they were kind of half or a third of the numbers. But for a really, really weird, quirky reason, it was our biggest Maidstone meeting to date. We had 55 people there.
Poor Gary Johnson came in a little bit late and had to sit on a bar stool.
Yes, yeah, I'm not going to mention whose
place.
Yes, yeah, yeah, we actually had one too many and we didn't have enough seats. And, Gary Johnson from Racing Events had to sit on a bar stool about 4 foot higher than everybody else. Not something you've suffered from before, Tao, is it? But, it was buzzing, really, good. Really good.
And, so onwards and upwards with Maidstone.
Yeah.
But Maidstone isn't the only group, is it? So
no, it isn't.
I think there's at least, there's four of us in the room, I think, today. He'll be at Dartford on Thursday morning. Will we all be there?
Yep, certainly will.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay. So have you got any space left in Dartford this Thursday?
No.
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 You can always squeeze one more in.
Well, like I did with you at Maidstone on Friday, and look what happened. Yes. Yes. Exactly. You've got it, Tel. Yeah, he's a nuisance.
We'll
proper
put Gary
nuisance.
On the high chair again.
Yeah, because he was one of those ones, rang me, it's been Easter, I haven't done anything, and I need to get out and do something. Yes, Martin, but the date hasn't changed. It's always been Easter since you got your diary at Christmas. But he rang me and he just put me under pressure to squeeze him in, which I did. Because he said loads of people won't show up. But, of course, that doesn't happen at
it's
BBN.
It's not what you know, it's who you know.
Yeah, exactly.
So we've got Dartford on Thursday.
Yeah, we've got a banging Dartford on Thursday. Yeah, as usual. That's our fortnightly slot. So we've got 55 booked in for there on Thursday.
Amazing, good.
Which is bang on. And
then next week we've got...
Next week, the alternate week, we have, of course, got BBN Bromley on the Wednesday. And run by the wonderful... Paul McCartney and Faye Cox, and I am there myself as well in person. I'll be there.
Okay.
And then, of course, back to Maidstone on the 10th.
Good. Okay. Fantastic. So what's the best way to kind of get in touch, to kind of book on for one of those meetings, or put yourselves on the waiting list for one of those?
Yeah, I mean, Bromley's the easier one to get into at the moment. So the best thing in the first instance is have a look at bbnetworking.co.uk. That will give you the three groups with all the dates for the year. And then call me and we'll have a chat. And we'll see what we can do going forward.
Good. Fantastic. So we look forward to seeing you at one of those Brian's BN Networking.
Yes, BBN. It's not about me, YT. Yes. You know that.
Sure. Yeah. Good. All right. So over to you. What have you got for us, Brian, outside of BBN?
Outside of BBN? Oh, we've got a bit of Marsh networking coming up, I think, haven't we?
Yes.
I thought you might have done that bit while I shuffle across to the west wing of the studio.
Oh, no, no. Go on. You shuffle across. You can do it. You know what you're doing.
So what a shuffle that was.
When is that? Is that next week?
We have got... I've got to actually try and find it now.
He's shut down his window, haven't you? You're such a bad boy.
No, it's there, no. I'll tell you when it is. It is on the 8th of May, which is next Wednesday, Wednesday week. So that's Marsh networking over coffee. And it's the... what's the French pronunciation of St. Paul's? Romney.
That'll do.
That'll do. That's close enough. Everyone will know that. So, and that's a regular Martin, so I think you go to that, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, I actually went to the launch one of those, so it's a great meeting if you're kind of based down on Romney Marsh or around that area, Dymchurch, maybe even East Sussex. You get a really kind of quite eclectic mix of businesses from down there going along to that. So that's 10 o'clock in the morning, isn't it, I think?
Yes, it is.
At the St. Paul Arms. No need to book. Turn up on the day. I think there's a £5 voluntary contribution towards a local charity that looks after elderly, lonely people.
So, Terry, is that a place you network regularly, is it, down in Hythe and Dymchurch and New Romney? he went to Maidstone once, got lost. He doesn't like leaving Dartford, does Terry?
Terry only ever comes down to Broadstairs and sits and has his,
another weekend.
Has his 99 flake, don't you, on the beach. And that's about
when the sun's out.
That's about it. Good. I'm going to mention another FSB event that's coming up. And this is with a good friend of ours, Simon Morgan of the HR department. So myself and Terry and Brian were all good friends with Simon. And in fact, Brian, you're based in the same offices, aren't you? So I know you're going along to this. And Terry, I think you're popping along as well.
I've signed up, yep.
So it's on the 23rd of May. It's at 6 o'clock. And Simon from the HR department will be hosting a free evening networking. There's going to be a couple of speakers on the night as well. It starts at 6 and it's at Dartford Base Point. There is no need to book on. Just be aware of it. Put it in your diary if you're interested. It's from 6 o'clock and it's Thursday the 23rd of May, and it's hopefully going to be the first of many ongoing monthly meetings there at Dartford Base Point with the FSB.
Yeah, that is a first, actually, the Dartford Base Point, because, Brian, we usually support the Base Point networking events, don't we? But they're usually kind of 11 till 1 type jobs, aren't they?
Yeah, and they still are doing those. I think
are they?
The next one's on the 15th, I think. But I think this is a new departure. There's a new management team there, so a new departure, and obviously Simon and the FSB get involved, so...
Oh, okay. Michelle used to be the centre manager.
Michelle Gagey, yeah, she did, yeah.
Is she coming on Thursday to BBN Dartford?
No, she's retired. no, she's... no, basically, that's Michelle from Day PA. So there you go, Michelle, I've given you a shout out there. But no, she's not able to at the moment because she's not long had another baby.
Oh, I didn't know.
And she's got to kind of find kennels for it or whatever you do with them.
Right, okay.
To enable her to come along. So okay. Later on in the year, she'll be back.
Good.
But she's, off-piste at the moment.
Right. Brian, what have you got for us?
And, there's another FSB event coming up, FSB Connect in Tunbridge. So that's a business breakfast on the 16th of May.
And that's at the old fire station, I believe, isn't it? Which is actually Dame Kelly Holmes's cafe stroke restaurant. So I know it's always incredibly well attended, that one as well. So it's another great one to keep a lookout for and get yourselves along to. I'm going to mention a networking Motivational Monday, it's called. It's on the 20th of May. So that's obviously Monday the 20th of May, and it's at Caffeine in Broadstairs High Street. Terry, I'm sure you've walked past it with your 99 flake in your hand at some point, but it's a brilliant little cafe right in the heart of Broadstairs. And actually, I went to the last one, and it was the local MP talking about, politics and Brexit and all sorts of stuff. I can't repeat what he said, but It was certainly an interesting experience. So this is at Caffeine. It starts at 9 o'clock in the morning. It's in Broadstairs, a beautiful Broadstairs. And there's a wonderful breakfast that they lay on as well. And I think it's £10 for FSB members and £15 if you're not. So yeah, something else to look out for. And if you happen to be in the Thanet area, I would get yourselves along to that.
Okay, and you yourself have a part of the next After Six, one of your events that's coming up as well, yes. Martin. So I'm hearing good reports on that. So that's monthly, I think, that you're doing that?
Yeah, so this is a collaboration, really, between ourselves at Supply My Business, the FSB again, and the Ashford International Hotel. And also supported by the Kent MS Therapy Centre in Canterbury. So, again, this is an After Six networking group at the Ashford International. It's monthly. The next one is on the 22nd of May. It would have been the 15th, but we're all going to be at Business Vision Live, which we're going to talk about shortly on the day. So we're having it a week later. And as I said at the start of the show, we had a brilliant guest speaker in the form of Andrew Osborne at the last one. He was telling us about all the huge investment that's been going on in and around Ashford at the moment. And we're hoping to have a local winery come and present at the next one as well. There's a few wineries that we're talking to, and Curious Brew, who are obviously part of Chapel Down, are opening a new brewery, about to literally just open their new brewery in Ashford as well. So it might be a boozy affair, that one, and they may
kill surprise.
There may even be some samples available on the night. You do have to book on for that, because we do need to know how many to cater for in terms of refreshments. But you'll find the booking details for that on Eventbrite or on the community page of Supply My Business.
Okay. Our lovely friends, Sarah and Mark at Nico Office. So great, great members of BBN Dartford, and they do fantastic golf days as well. But they're doing some offers at the moment. Obviously, they supply toner cartridges, ink cartridges, photocopiers, all that kind of stuff. And they're doing free delivery on all your office machines, inks and spares for the foreseeable future.
That's the lovely people at Nico who are based in Ash, aren't
they?
Yeah,
Ash, yeah. They used to be up in Crayford for a while, but they moved to Ash a few years ago.
And they also recycle all of your old cartridges and do a donation to a local hospice, I think, don't they, as well, at the end of the year.
So, they do a lot for charity.
They do an awful lot, yeah, in the community. So well done, guys. Just going to mention very briefly, the Ashford International have a banqueting offer on at the moment. So if you're looking for any kind of charity dinner, for example, or maybe a kind of a conference or event dinner, could be anything, really. They've put together a banqueting package, and it's £39 per person. It includes the cost of your room hire, a three-course set or chosen meal, and even a disco to party the night away with a selfie mirror as well. So, yeah, you can't go wrong with that. So if you want to inquire about that, Lynette Wood, who is the sales director at the Ashford International Hotel, lwood at ashfordinternationalhotel.com is your person.
Just a couple of quick snippets from me to round up, really. Mm-hmm. The 8th of May, the Marlow Networking. Again, I think that's kind of down your neck of the woods, Canterbury.
I'm going to that next Wednesday.
Well, it says cocktails and nibbles, so yes. You're not going to miss those, are you?
No.
So,
I'm going with the lovely Jackie Offen, actually. Terry, you know Jackie.
I know Jackie.
At J&J Systems, based in Hursden, just outside Canterbury. So,
okay.
Yes. So I think that's to celebrate. They've got a sponsor in the form of Barrett's, who are a local garage, Land Rover Jaguar garage.
And it's going to be called the Barrett's Bar.
The Barrett's
Bar. It's had a makeover.
And it's to celebrate the opening of the bar with some cocktails and some comedy in the theatre afterwards as well. So, yeah.
That'll be you after you've tried every cocktail and eaten all the nibbles, I should think.
So what's not to like? Looking forward
comedic
to that
enough.
Good. So that's next Wednesday, isn't it? I believe. Yes. Yes, it is. Good.
It is.
We need to mention our wonderful hosts at Kent Space, Brian.
Why? What have they done?
Well, they're running, not only do they host us in the studio here, but they're also running a free employment law and health and safety advice seminar tomorrow.
Ah, yes.
At their Lordswood base. So ideally you need to book on for that. It starts at 9:30 in the morning, finishes at 12:45, food and refreshments provided. So as I said, it's an employment law and health and safety seminar. It's actually being run by Peninsula on the day at their Lordswood offices of Kent Space. So events at peninsula-uk.com is your contact there. But again, all of this information is all on the community page of Supply My Business. So that's your reference point for all of that.
Okay. And lastly, from me, because we found out what you're doing over the next week or two.
eating and drinking.
Yes, yeah. So back to me. More about me, Martin.
Oh, okay.
So I'll tell you what I'm doing.
Me.
Right, yeah, exactly. Okay. Exactly. Oh, I've got an eye test on Friday. We don't need to talk about that. But on Wednesday, the 1st, at the Business Terrace in Maidstone.
Yes.
So, which is this Wednesday, the 1st of May. How scary is that? Can you believe that? But it is the 1st of May. And I'm going to be there for quite a chunk of the day.
Uh-huh.
Why, I hear you ask. I'll tell you why, Martin. Well, the lovely Linda Cloak, she is doing...
Is that AKA Little Legs?
Little Legs, that's her.
As you affectionately refer to
her. She's called loads of things, but yeah, they're three that I can mention on air. Yeah, that's right. She doesn't need to stand on a chair, or does she tell? Boroteris. So she's doing a My Zones presentation, which is a fantastically exciting new business that's going to help lots of businesses connect with other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to really be looking into the kind of nuts and bolts of that.
Good.
Which is all free, and also as an added extra, an hour before that, she's doing an hour's LinkedIn presentation. So a little bit of training and stuff, how to get more out of LinkedIn and try and understand it. So yeah, I'm going to be down there from about kind of 11:30 midday through till about 4-ish with all that. So and it's in the middle of Maidstone, so there's
that's at the terrace
on.
That's with the brilliant Sean Henry and his
yeah
team
it is
hosting it, that at the Business Terrace. Do you need to book on for that, Brian?
Ideally yes. I would say ideally
certainly the LinkedIn, I'd imagine.
LinkedIn or Facebook, there's a lot on Facebook. So just search My Zones and stuff like that. Or talk to me and or Linda. We're both pretty easy to
find. Linda's on the Twitter at We Do Social, isn't she?
Oh, she's got lots, but yeah, We Do Social Media
is
the main.
Brilliant. Well, there's an awful lot going on, as I said. We've barely scratched the surface, but we do need to move on. So I think what we're going to do now is we're going to play a bit of tunage.
Are we? Is there a link?
There is a link.
Guess the link. I like this bit.
There is a link in there somewhere. And then we'll join you again in a couple of minutes after this.
Snowflakes, no one could ever stain.
Well, there we go. Welcome back, everybody.
You're trying to work out what that was, Martin, aren't you?
Well, I think I know what it was, but you're going to... Yeah, come on, Brian, share.
I'll tell you, because I am the music man.
You
and
are.
I come from around your way. That was Centrefold by the Jay Giles Band. Do you know what year that was, Martin?
83.
Cool. Closer than you've ever been before. It was actually 82, the Jay Giles
82.
Band. Cracking video.
Yeah.
And there is a link, because there always is, but that's called Centrefold, like Centrefold of a magazine.
Right.
Magazine.
Publishing.
Printing. Print. Publishing. That kind of stuff. So I do like my links.
I think we'd better introduce our guest then, Terry Seller from TIC Media. Terry, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon.
Great to have you here. I know you've been in the studio before, as has Brian, when we've been on the Business Bunker some time ago.
Yep.
But welcome to Kent Biz Connect. Tell us in a nutshell, who are TIC Media? What is it that you actually do?
What we do is we are print management. And what we do is, you know, we take all your print projects off of you and manage that for you.
Right.
And just, you know, look at how we can improve and create engaging print.
So that's the whole process, really, from
start to finish.
I need some design for a business card or a leaflet or a banner or whatever it might be, or I need brochures printing. Yep. Can you help me? So you can do the design element of that, the print quote, obviously, and the actual delivery as well on
delivery
the back
as well,
of that.
Just taking your design and seeing how you get to print with it.
Superb, superb. So tell me, what's kind of hot at the moment in the world of print? Because everybody talks about digital. And, you know, how we now kind of live in a digital age. But I guess everything that's impactful digitally as well has some kind of design element to it. So what are you getting involved with at the moment? What's the thing out there?
Well, I was at the Sign and Digital show recently up in Birmingham. And it was interesting with the technology that's involved in print. You know, people say print's dying. It's not. It's just more and more technology is being implemented into print, and it was getting anything from, like, you know, your branding your office from your digital wallpaper to actually printing on fabric and recovering your sofas, so textile printing.
Right.
So, you know, it's it was a really good show to go to, and it really does open your mind at what is out there to do.
Right, because in the bad old days, I mean, Brian, you'll remember this as well.
Yeah, probably.
Whenever you needed anything kind of printing on material, if you had a dark T-shirt and you wanted something light printing over the top of it, some wording or whatever, you'd end up with this kind of almost rubberized kind of print, wouldn't you, that was awful to the touch and just didn't look right.
And it felt permanently wet as well.
It's just not so nice.
Yes, it's very weird. Do you do all that then, Terry?
What, the
all that wet, not wet T-shirt stuff, but yeah, print, well, I'm sure you'd be very good at it. Yeah, the sort of fabric printing.
We do fabric displays.
Okay.
So instead of you having, well, we do the vinyl, you know, normal exhibition vinyl stands, but we also do fabric displays, which...
Because flags are very popular, aren't they?
Are
exhibitions.
Great, yeah.
I mean, we're going to talk about Business Vision Live in a minute, but they seem to be all the rage as well. Those kind of almost like beach flag type things that expose.
Yeah, there's quite a few different types. There's feather flags, there's like teardrop flags, there's even speaking to fitness company the other day, they want to market it to get their brand out down the high street, and they're talking about the Archback flags to walk up and down the high street with.
So, I mean, you're a broker, so you're in a position to kind of access the best bits of the market from the best suppliers.
That's right, yeah.
How would you kind of describe the difference between what you do versus kind of going direct to a printing company, for example? Because I'm assuming that there is no such thing as a kind of as one printer today that can do everything anyway, because some are digital printers, some are litho specialists. A lot of people buy their print in Germany for some reason. What's happened in the marketplace? It seems to have got incredibly sort of fragmented on that level.
It's all becoming as one. I would say print is all becoming as one. So you've got your signage, you've got your normal print, you know, you've got your signage, which is large format printing, and you've got your small format. So it's all becoming as one. But obviously, you can't buy all the machines. So what I do is, you know, I manage it from, you know, get, as you say, get from the best
yeah,
best suppliers.
Yes.
And that allows me to have the whole market of, you know, managing B2B companies.
Presumably, if you went to a printer and you had a specialist job, it might be textile printing, for example, and the chances are they're not going to do that themselves. Mm. They're going to have to outsource it anyway, aren't they? So
they're going to outsource it. And also what you get is if you don't offer that service, they're going to go to someone else who will.
Right.
So that's what I'm saying, where it all becomes as one.
Yeah.
So you're losing out on that opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, one-stop shop, if possible. That's what it's all about, isn't it?
I like to call it the A to Z of print.
The A to Z of print. Yes, yes. Yeah, I like that. I like that. So obviously you do all the kind of standard never-ending stuff, sort of leaflets and business cards and different flyers and all that sort of stuff. Are you finding you're doing more and more work for exhibitions and conferences and that kind of thing?
I'm finding more bespoke stuff, actually, you know, from, you know, your corporate brochures of having cutouts or die cutting to having special finishes as well for people to, you know, go to exhibitions. You know, something just to stand out, you know, having, for instance, where Brian does mortgages, you can just do a flyer with a cutout of a house instead of a normal standard A5 flyer.
Mm. So it's quite fun.
It's just, you know, creating that bit more engagement or something that's going to, you know, people are going to think, you know, I want to read this.
And that for me is actually fundamental because, you know, I mean, it's very difficult these days, isn't it, to get your brand in front of key decision makers in businesses, because there's always a gatekeeper. You know, the time was you would be able to walk around an industrial estate, for example, knock on some doors and get a meeting with the person responsible for, you know, buying the corporate brochures or whatever it was. You can't do that anymore. Those kind of days of cold calling are over.
Yeah, it doesn't work like that anymore, does it?
It just doesn't work like that. So, and it's not as simple as putting a message out on social media either and saying, you know, here's some flyers at a good price, you know, come and buy. What you need to do is somehow get your brand visible in front of those key decision makers at their place of work in a very impactful and kind of visual way, don't you? That's the key to it. So it could be anything from, I don't know, a specially designed kind of promotional box with a personalised letter in it and a kind of a sample of your product to a brochure, anything like that, really, just to kind of get that stand out and get that kind of initial...
Being a bit different.
Yes.
That, you know, attracts people, you know, because... I always say with normal leaflets, you know, you get normal leaflets through the door. So if you're doing the same thing, it's just going to get the same message.
Go in the bin with everything else.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You get 20 through the door that all look the same.
You're not going to read all
so, no, and it is, it's not dying, is it? But what it is, I guess, is, it's more competitive for people that are doing the services, really. So they really have to get a bit more creative. Bit lighter on their feet, thinking on their feet, really. So would you say that really the quality of the stuff that you're doing is kind of the demand for the quality is improving, increasing?
I would always go for the quality. You know, there is companies out there, you know, that don't, you know, it's all driven on price.
Mm.
I don't like to be driven on price because it's about the solution that you're offering. It's about the service you're offering. So, we always print on the quality. And make sure, and if they don't like it, you know, if they're not happy with it, we get it reprinted.
So presumably,
it's good.
You're looking to work with businesses, therefore, that can come to you with a blank sheet of paper, a fairly open brief in terms of, right, you know, this is the audience that I'm going to reach or trying to reach. I've already got a kind of a mailing list sorted out. I know who my kind of core prospects are, but I need something that's going to land on their desk and actually make them want to pick up the phone and book a meeting with me. And then from that brief, presumably, you can go away and you can come up with all sorts of different ideas within those kind of budget parameters. You're not expecting them to come to you with the final brief necessarily. That's what you're there to do.
It's working with them to give them the ideas of what they want. Do you remember when I brought that to BBN, the notepad? The notebook, the case bound.
And that yes,
was,
I do. Yeah.
And all that was the graphic designer saying, Terry, and what I'm, my idea in my head is that I wanted to do a brochure type notepad, but with have a fabric feel. to it and have a spot UV. I said, well, what we can do is just use a case-bound book, soft touch lamination, which gives you that fabric feel, and we just do the enhanced embellished spot UV. But inside, what we do is we'll do is just use the uncoated paper, so you get the same continuous all the way through. So we're taking a standard product, turn it into a bit of a luxury. Mm-hmm. So it's just giving them their ideas, and the client was over the moon with it and putting up more orders after that.
Yeah. So that's kind of at the top end of the of the kind of market, if you like. But let's kind of bring it down to kind of everyday use. And let's talk about expos. And we've got Business Vision Live coming up on the 15th of May. Mm. I mean, you've been doing my print for years, and my requirements on the day are fairly basic. You know, I've got a banner.
Simple,
but you know, nevertheless, I've got a banner, leaflet, and a business card. So what do you offer exhibitors on that kind of level? Are you able to kind of produce those everyday items as well? I mean, it's not just always about the kind of the premium end of the market.
An exhibitor, typical exhibitor package, is it?
Yeah.
Print is print, and it's how you adapt to that, you know, whether it's a luxury or, you know, standard product. And yeah, we can do, you know, from your standard leaflets to your standard, you know, mini brochures and
good
that, even from small quantities from 25 up to 250 then you get your lot more larger quantities from 500 upwards.
And typically, I guess today we're talking about a digital print solution for something like that, rather than a kind of a litho solution, you know, on those kind of small run quantities.
Yeah, they're more
and things like that.
Digital.
What kind of differences have you noticed, really, Terry? Because I'm from a kind of publishing and advertising and marketing background, and 37 years ago I first set foot, and I have to say I've seen one or two changes. But when people used to send in artwork, it was negatives and chromalins and bromides and right reading negatives, emulsion side down, and it used to take about 4 weeks for that to arrive and then actually get it to print. So in terms of, I don't know, businesses' requirements and things like that, over the last few years, have you seen many changes?
Yes. Yeah, I started off as an apprentice on the old final film, which is, took 8 people to do one job.
Oh, right, yeah.
So, and to just be 23 years on, I've seen a massive change in it. But as I mentioned earlier, is that the software or the technology that's involved with it allows us to turn around print a lot more quicker now.
We can do
business cards or leaflet standard ones. We can turn them around in a day, you know, get it in, process it,
and that's what people expect, I guess, now as well, isn't it?
We always work to a 5 working days just to cover yourself, but you know, you always get people leave it to the last minute, and that's when the pressure adds on. We can turn them around. You know, we work to 5 working days, but we can do it quick.
And everything seems to be all artwork today. I mean, going back to what you guys, chromalin, and in terms of proofs, and but actual, you know,
it's just a PDF now,
exactly,
isn't it?
Physical pasted down artwork where you'd have to kind of, if you had a typo, you had to kind of cut out a word and paste in the new letter or whatever it was.
Get Tippex all over your screen.
Yeah, I mean, it was a nightmare, wasn't it? Because, and then it all had to be colour marked up. Do you remember that? You know, with a sort of like a transfer paper over the top with a colour markup on it, and I mean, really kind of quite an involved process, as you said. Now, PDF. So how does that actually work? How do you translate a PDF into a physical kind of finished? How do you make plates from a PDF?
It's quite interesting when you say about making a PDF. Is that one of, and just going back to what you're saying, Brian, is, you know, one of the changes, or one what we've seen, is a lot of things is digital now. So there's a lot of web designers to web, you know, designers. But now what we're seeing is a lot more errors in PDFs being made where there's no print-based, or there is print-based designers, but very limited of them. And it's to get them to understand or...
Oh, you know, I see. So they're not doing the same due diligence when they're producing an electronic PDF as they would be if it was print.
Yeah, before it goes to print, we have to do about 30-stage checks.
Right.
Before we can hit print.
So it's full of typos.
It's the colours. It's making sure there's the crop marks are on it.
Right, right, okay.
There's bleed, you know, there's a lot more things, you know, we have to go into.
So people are getting lazy with kind of digital.
I would say lazy. It's probably the not having the understanding.
Yes.
Print is different to putting it on a web, you know. So I was chatting to someone recently, funny enough, this morning, and they were just saying that, you know, they've taken their logo off their website and expecting it to print, when really it actually comes out all jagged edges and low res.
Yeah, because they've been compressed to go on a website. Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, I see. So they're low res images.
Yeah, absolutely.
And stuff like that.
And
yes,
that holds
of course.
Up, you know.
And particularly when you're going kind of up in size, the whole thing gets blurred and pixelated. Yep. And, oh, God.
Oh, yeah, you go to four times the size, you won't be able to see anything. It's embarrassing, isn't it?
So that brings with it a whole kind of set of new headaches for you, I guess, because you're continually correcting people's artwork for them.
Well, exactly. That, and because I come from a production-based imprint, I know all that. So that's where I take care of it. You know, then files come in, we know what to do.
Yeah.
We know how we can educate them on, and we know how we can get it to print.
Right.
So they have a painless journey.
And you're keeping a lookout for that, obviously, to kind of just double-check things. Yeah. No, I hadn't even thought about that, but, of course, you're right. I mean, I sent a PDF off myself this morning of a logo, because I'm sponsoring one of the vehicles in the Scum Run this year, Ray Angel.
As am I, yes. You only just did it this morning, Whitey.
Well, I only spoke to the guys on Friday. So, but it was just a very easy thing to do. But even I was quite conscious of the fact that, you know, what is the size of the logo I'm sending them to reproduce from? And I made sure I sent them a reasonably sized, you know, resolution logo within that PDF file.
Yeah, because if it's too big and it's small, then the quality will just be better anyway.
Exactly.
It's better than going the other way around.
Yeah.
But the thing with you, I guess, Terry, is because most businesses have a budget, so, you know, it's quality and stuff like that, but I guess you can work with people and their budgets, can't you?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, I just work with them, not too low of a budget. Like,
yeah.
Certain online ones.
Yes, quite. Yeah.
Well, no, that's a really good point, because I haven't seen it so much recently, but you see people advertising on the TV, you know, Vistaprint and people like that.
Oh, don't you said it now, look.
You know, no swear words.
But what I don't understand is how can they actually translate what you want as a client into a finished product that you're happy with, when it's all done on a template, on a website, and it's just sent off in that way with all these artwork issues and everything else. How do they actually manage to have a business on that basis when it's such a bespoke thing? I mean, print is a very bespoke, designed, you know, subjective.
Well, it's quantity, the amount of business that they get. I mean, Terry will give you a proper answer when I finish, but it's the amount of business that they get. They can do it. It's a real volume thing. But also it's an advertising thing, because somewhere on the material that is yours and you've paid for, there'll be a Vistaprint logo somewhere.
Oh, really?
Oh, and they're like on the back or in a corner. And also you'll get bombarded with another 20,000 emails from them selling you this, that and the other.
Yeah.
But once they've got their teeth in you, you've had it.
Yeah.
You can't get rid of it. There's no doctor
though,
in the world
it?
That can cure you a Vistaprint, let me tell you.
it's interesting. Going back to what we were saying earlier, you know, with Brian, and when we started the conversation about, you know, retail and high street, and kind of ever-changing and everything else. You know, there's all sorts of businesses and industries that are getting disrupted in that way. I mean, you can buy your website that way today, can't you, as well?
Yeah.
You know, you can go online and you can effectively commission a website from a designer who you're never going to meet.
Mm.
And, you know, you're just going to kind of click a few boxes, and then you're going to miraculously expect to get, you know, what you actually want.
Whereas Terry is, it's a personal service, isn't it, Terry?
Touch.
It's personal touch, yeah. Bespoke. Bespoke.
Yeah. And I would imagine, you know, at a kind of very simple business card or leaflet level, the price differential isn't actually going to be that much anyway. I mean, if you haven't got, you know, 50 quid to spend on some proper business cards, then I would question whether or not you're ever likely to have a business, frankly. And therefore
I agree.
and therefore go the extra mile and get it done properly.
Yeah, an extra 20 quid for 1,000 business cards or something. It's worth 20 times that to save me giving a business card to someone and they say, oh, I see, it's Vistaprint. It's just embarrassing, I think. So,
exactly. What's interesting as well, it's your only bit of, apart from networking, it's your only physical marketing.
Yeah.
Mm. And people, you know, scrimp and scrape on them.
Yeah. And there's nothing worse than taking a business card from someone who you've kind of just had a sensible conversation with, and then it almost kind of folds back on itself in your hand as you take receipt of it. You know, just this horrible feeling.
Or someone pops a fan on and it just drifts off into the sunset.
I mean, it's not even a sort of coated stock and it feels sort of furry or, you know, whatever. So,
especially if they're a printer.
Yeah,
there you go. How funny would that be? Yeah, we're quality services. Yeah, I have my Vistaprint business card.
So I guess the advice on that level is that, you know, you don't have to spend a fortune. But at the same time, don't spend as little as you think you can get away with, because you're not going to actually end up with what you want.
If you want to be taken seriously as well, you know, if you want to stand out, pay a little bit more.
Yeah. Good. All right. Well, I mean, and we're not talking huge amounts of money, Terry. I know you've got a couple of offers on at the moment, and let's have a look. So, I mean, we've got we've spoken about Business Vision Live coming up week after next. So, for example, you're doing an exhibition pop-up roller banner at the moment for £49.
That's right. Yep.
Plus VAT. Yeah.
So, I mean, what do I actually get for that?
Well, what you're getting is what I always say to people: no, what banners? What do you want them for?
Mm.
You know, because we do four different types. And that's your standard range. You know, that's where you just go to an exhibition, put it up, done. Or if you're going to be using them a lot, we do a more of a robust banner, which lasts longer. But if you're just going to an exhibition or putting them up in your reception area, go with your standard banners.
So you're not going to be taking it up and down all the time. It's just going to kind of stand there. Okay, brilliant. So that's 49 quid. And you're also doing leaflets at the moment as well. Let's have a look at those. So you're doing exhibition flyers, and you always do mine around the expo, so I need to get you my artwork and point taken there a week in advance. But you're saying from...
I was going to live in that bit late. And I think good, honestly.
Hey, we've still got 10 days till the expo. We've got plenty of time. But you'll do those from 35 quid, is that right?
So, yeah, anything... depending on the sizes, from 50 copies upwards. Mm-hmm. So if it's A7, A6, A5.
You know, and people don't need to worry about the stock, because it'll be a decent stock. It won't be transparent and kind of see-through and
it won't
horrible.
Be furry.
No, exactly. Can't stand that. Good. All right. Brilliant. Terry, it clearly pays to talk to someone like you to make sure that you're actually going to get what you want and ultimately that you feel comfortable with when you're talking about your brand. I mean, that's what it boils down to at the end of the day. Nobody likes cheap for the sake of cheap. So how do people get in touch with you, whether it's for leaflets or business cards or banners, or actually I need a bespoke solution because I really need to kind of to have some impact when it lands on my prospects or my customer's desk? How do people get in touch with you?
Go to the website, tic-media-media.co.uk, and then just fill in the form, and that will come straight through to me or into the inbox. But still, there's the phone number on there that they can ring up and speak to me direct.
Good.
So we could just go have more of a conversation where sometimes there's only a certain amount of information that you can put on an email.
Yeah, of course.
So. Or they can try and get into a BBN Dartford meeting. They can meet him in person.
I knew you'd slip that.
Well, you've already
calls me slippery.
You've already said it's full this week, so you've burnt your bridges there, Brian.
I haven't. I've just had another text message just now asking.
Well,
there we are.
You managed to squeeze six in at Maidstone last week.
Yeah, I know.
Good. Terry, thank you so much for coming along.
No problem.
That has been incredibly enlightening for all of us, I know. And we look forward to hearing more from you in the second part of the show. What we're going to do now, I think, is we're going to have a little comfort break with some music.
Oh, that'll be nice.
But there's also a cue to our next guest here as well.
Oh,
so.
Another bit of linkage.
So let's put that on now, and we'll see you on the other side in a couple of minutes.
you do it. You play the guitar on the MTV. That ain't working, that's the way you do it. Money for nothing and your chicks for free. Money for nothing.
Well, that was obviously Dire Straits, Money for Nothing. Has anybody managed to guess the link with our guest?
What do you reckon, Tel? It's way before his time, isn't it? But Money for Nothing, so we are going to be talking about money. Not for nothing, I have to say, but just competitive money, I would say, with our wonderful guest. It's Brian Downton from Downton and Alley. How you doing, Brian?
Very good, thanks, Brian.
Welcome to the studio, Brian.
Thank you, Martin.
Good to have you back in, bringing a sense of decorum and knowledge to the show.
Certainly some knowledge.
So your company, Downton and Alley Associates, how long have you been going for? Because you are a bit of a success story up in Dartford, I know that.
Well, I left NatWest in 2000.
Right.
18 years with NatWest.
Wow.
And then, yeah, left and set up on my own in August 2000.
Gosh.
And still going strong.
That's amazing. Well done. So let's go back to the beginning then. You were in banking. Personal banking or business banking with NatWest, or both?
A bit of both. All the way through the 80s and the 90s. But the last 8 years as a mortgage broker for NatWest, part of an initial experiment, really. None of the banks at that time had any financial advisors or mortgage brokers. They all got into it about that time. And you will find that majority of the financial advisors out there today who are any good were trained by the bank assurers.
Yeah, absolutely.
So pre kind of mortgages with banks, was it the traditional kind of building societies that you would go to for a... in fact, I remember this whole transition, actually, because I was a Woolwich customer.
I was just going to say the Woolwich. My first Woolwich one was.
Nationwide.
Yeah.
And I think Woolwich got bought by Barclays. So yep. is that how a lot of the banks kind of entered that marketplace, just buying up building societies? Or?
Some of them, yeah. Some of them. Barclays certainly went that way with Cheltenham Gloucester as well. And Woolwich. And NatWest went through NatWest Mortgage Services, so they stayed on their own. Lloyds was Cheltenham Gloucester. They bought Cheltenham Gloucester.
Alliance and Leicester.
Alliance and Leicester.
Abbey National.
Yeah, a lot of mergers over the years, which is why we've historically had a lot of lenders who were part of the same group.
Right.
But yeah, on the mortgage side of things, a lot of changes, a lot of amalgamations.
It seems to be an incredibly sort of fluid marketplace. I guess one thing that sticks in mind is the kind of the financial crisis that we had back in, what was it, 2008, 2009.
Yeah. Northern Rock.
And all that kind of overlending and subprime, I think, was the term in America, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The subprime mortgage market where they just run out of customers and therefore they needed to find a new market.
Go for the high risk.
Yeah, I think you've got to definitely not confuse the subprime in America to what we would class as subprime over here.
Right.
The lending in America was, quite frankly, balmy.
Bizarre, yeah.
Totally bizarre.
But they created sort of derivative products, didn't they, where it wasn't just a mortgage kind of derivative that you were buying as a kind of a financial investment. It had some other kind of nicer bits in it, didn't it?
I think you've got to look at how a mortgage lender funds.
Mm.
So a lot of the mortgage lenders over here will fund from deposits. So your building societies will encourage their customers to deposit money with them, mm-hmm. and then they will lend it out.
Which they always did.
Yeah. You had the likes of Northern Rock who worked totally differently, where they would have a tranche of money that they would lend, mm-hmm. and then they would lump it together and sell it.
Yes.
And that is what caused the issues, because they had no money there in the background to cover themselves if any issues happened.
It became a virus, didn't it? Because it infected the whole of the all financial institutions globally.
Yep.
Because they were all trading in those derivative products day to day in the marketplace.
They all had their fingers in there somewhere.
Everybody got burned ultimately. I mean, Northern Rock was a great example. Mm. You know, there were people queuing up outside Northern Rock branches to try and take their money out.
They couldn't because it wasn't there because it didn't have any.
But of course, Northern Rock now is one of the most successful lenders going because they're now, of course, Virgin.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Forgotten that.
Yes.
Virgin Money.
Virgin Money bought Northern Rock.
Yeah. So the slate was wiped clean.
Yeah.
And then it was sold off as a...
Well, they basically split these business into two.
Yeah.
The bad part and the good part.
Yes.
And the bad part has gradually... I think most of the money's been repaid.
Yeah. Mm.
Because most of those mortgages were absolutely fine. There was nothing wrong with them.
Mm.
They were taken by perfectly good people who were never going to default.
Mm.
And gradually that money's been repaid from people redeeming those mortgages. But the new part, which was the Virgin Money, has gone from strength to strength, and it is one of our biggest lenders.
Mm.
So let's stay with mortgages because it's such a massive marketplace. What does the market look like in the UK if I want to get a mortgage today? When I had a mortgage, you know, my last mortgage, I think the lending rate was about 3.5 times salary, which even back then, you know, was quite generous, I felt. But I think, you know, after that, it then went to sort of 100, 110%.
Yeah.
I'd have no idea what the criteria is now.
What does it look like at the moment?
It's quite a complicated market. Mm. And income-wise, there's no income multiples anymore. It's not worked out on that. It's worked out on affordability, which is a great thing. So you could have two people earning exactly the same money, one of them getting a much bigger mortgage than the other because it's done on whether they can afford it.
So their outgoings.
Outgoings and their liabilities and things like that, how much they might owe the credit card or...
Exactly, credit cards, student loans, how much, even some of the lenders, you know, how much do you spend on season ticket and...
Mm.
That sort of thing.
It's a much more sensible way of doing it, isn't it? Because, you know, you might earn $90,000 a year and comfortably spend $88,000 of it.
Yep.
Or you might only earn $20,000 a year, but you only spend about $4,000.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's great in theory, but how is that policed? Because presumably you fill in a household expenditure form as part of your application process. But what if you don't put everything on it?
The underwriters check it. It is checked on a regular basis. So... You know, not every case will. There's a lot more they're doing. So the lenders have got a lot of links now with HMRC. So sometimes we're not even asked for payslips because they can actually link to HMRC and actually say to them, does this person work for this company? And they say yes.
Yeah, can find out. Yeah.
There's also going to be some of the lenders have now got links to your bank account.
Mm-hmm.
So they can actually check those figures directly with your bank account.
Mm. And in a regulatory context as well, I think the market's changed a lot there as well, hasn't it? So in the past, you could have a quite open conversation with a mortgage broker to the effect that, look, you know, I can't really afford this mortgage, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to sublet it and actually that's going to pay it effectively. But we don't need to put that on the form, do we? It's a whole different marketplace now, isn't it, from that point of view?
I'd like to think that the brokers involved in that are now gone from the market.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they all are, who knows? But, yeah,
Was that part of this kind of 2009 shakeout that the market became much more regulated? Because I know you have to be incredibly careful with what you can and can't say.
Yeah. Well, yeah, advice-wise and stuff,
But even when you write as a business blog, you know, you have to be very, very careful. And it's always got, you know...
has to be approved by small advertising print. People and the small print on there, we have to be very careful. And to be honest, we probably turn away as much business as we do because, you know, what the person is after is not doable.
No.
At the same time, though, we also give a lot of advice to people on, you know, if somebody came to me today and wanted to do a mortgage and I can't do it, I won't just turn them away. Mm. I'll tell them what they need to do over the next year or 2 years so that when they come back to me after that, if they've done certain things, maybe with their credit, maybe with just even just paying your credit cards on time, you know, simple things like that, so that they can get in a better position.
That is a really good point, isn't it? So if you think you might need a financial product in the future, like a mortgage, talk to someone like Brian today. In a, you know, 2 years or 3 years ahead so that you can actually get your ducks in a row.
Yeah,
so
and start behaving yourself because there used to be a misconception that, oh, no, don't have credit cards and stuff like that because it's not good. Well, actually, it's completely the opposite. Yeah. You should have them, but what you should do is pay it on time or early in full every month.
Yep.
Because then you're credit worthy. If you've never had one, then
it's
worthy?
It's actually worse to have no credit. Yes. It's to have bad credit.
Isn't it?
Because lenders won't lend on no credit history.
Everything is based on your credit search, your credit history.
Right.
And you, what you're doing, you're proving that you can handle money.
Yep. Yes. Absolutely.
And that's what they're looking at.
So I can see two kind of really relevant kind of context here. One is first time buyers, I guess.
Yep.
You know, you are going to want to get on the housing market if at all possible at some point in the future. Take some advice now in terms of, you know, getting yourself in the right mindset.
And the market is not as bad for first time buyers as the media like to point out. You know, there has been a bit of a price correction on properties recently, certainly as you move more into London. So things are, and deposit wise, you don't need a 20-30% deposit. Mm. We've got plenty of lenders that will lend 95%. Mm. The 110% days have gone.
Yes.
But 95% is there. And there's also a huge amount of schemes available from the lenders now for the Bank of Mum and Dad to help. So that is something that I deal with a huge amount, where the parents are involved to help the kids onto the property market.
Of course, so they can be guarantors on loans.
Will they have an interest in the property maybe?
Not necessarily, Not necessarily. I mean, a really big one at the moment is joint borrower sole proprietor. So it's a joint mortgage with the parents actually on the mortgage, but they're not on the deeds, the title deeds.
Right.
Which means there's no extra stamp duty to pay. They don't get hit by that. But the parents' income can be used to get the mortgage that's needed.
So they own the debt but not the asset.
That's
how
it,
very
yeah.
encouraging.
There we go.
But the other instance I was thinking about was self-employed people.
Very complicated now. So there's more and more self-employed people in the marketplace. We talked to earlier on about the opportunities that the big companies, the big high street institutions, you know, closing down. It gives the smaller business opportunities.
Yep.
You know, there are a record number of self-employed people in the country now, but it isn't all that always easy to get a mortgage. We've got lenders who will work on 1 year's accounts. We've got lenders who will work on self-employed, limited company, whether you take all your income as PAYE, whether you take part of it as dividends. We've got lenders who will take into account if you're leaving the money in the business to help it grow.
Right.
So, you know, retain profit.
So they're quite pragmatic then.
Yeah.
So they don't penalise you because you pay yourself via a dividend.
No, and they don't penalise you if you want to build your business and you're not taking all of the profit out.
Because that's a change as well, because it used to be kind of 3 years books. And that was it, didn't it?
Don't get me wrong, you get a better deal if you've got 3 years good books, but there are opportunities available.
I was going to ask that, and I guess the same applies the lenders that all lend 95 or 90%.
Of course, the rate's higher,
It's going to be a higher rate than...
One of the biggest problems back in the crash days was that there was no... Products weren't priced for risk. it had got to a stupid situation where you could have somebody who'd been discharged bankrupt the week before paying the same rate as somebody with a clean credit history. That's just not right.
Because it was just piling high, selling cheap.
What's the situation, I don't know, you might want to come back to mortgages, Martin, but on kind of investments and stuff like that at the moment, you were saying earlier about the old building society thing, and so people would deposit money in a building society. As we know now, as a rule, people don't tend to do that because it's a quarter of a percent or whatever it is, if we're lucky. 0.05, I think I was getting on one. So people don't tend to do that. So in theory, they haven't then got the money to lend out again. So if people aren't investing in building societies and accounts, what's the kind of the best thing at the moment? I know ISAs are tax-free and stuff like that, but is there a favourite at the moment?
Well, there's always going to be a degree of savings that needs to be in instant access. So
liquid cash, whether it
be
an
ISA, whether it be a cash ISA, whether it be a sort of a cash bond that some lenders, that some building societies offer. Some of it's always got to be there. That's your rainy day money. But anything other up and above that, the only way really to get any sort of decent return potentially is to, you're talking about equity ISAs. So rather than having it in cash, having it in equities, and that doesn't have to be extremely risky.
Stock market linked,
but it doesn't have to be stock market linked. It can be gilt linked.
It's down to you, isn't it? It's your attitude to risk.
You can choose, basically.
It governs where the money... I mean, you could put it all in China, for example, with potential massive growth, but then lose it all.
or not.
Which is, so we specialise in looking at that. So we'll look at our clients' attitude to risk and we'll make a recommendation based on that.
I think Brazil was a good example, wasn't it? If 3 or 4 years ago, Brazil was going to be the next big... kind of massive growth market, and everybody was getting excited. And now, you look at a lot of these kind of South American countries, Venezuela, Brazil, they're on their knees.
Emerging markets. Yep, some of them are. Some of them are.
So it is, it's not for the faint-hearted, is it, if you go down that route?
No, I think any investment, it needs to be done knowing what you're doing, getting the proper advice and good advice, looking at where the money's been invested, looking at the returns that are potentially there. Diversification is hugely important. The risk within investment, you can go from investing in one company's shares. If you're invested in a decent portfolio, then your risk will be spread across
the risk.
Lots of different areas. Equities will be some of it, gilts.
But again, the earlier you start,
You
don't have to be so risky because you're planning over a much longer period of returns.
Also, so if you're looking at a pension planning, the earlier you start, you've got a longer period where you've got the more time to potentially recover when there are peaks and troughs, which there will be. There is volatility.
There will always be volatility
in the stock market, in any market.
It's very high at the moment, isn't it? I think 7.4 or something like that.
It is. I mean, this year, there was a lot of volatility end of last year, early part of this year. It's gone a little bit. The volatility's gone out a little bit again, and we're just rising. But, that won't go on forever.
I want to talk a little bit about business protection, because I know this is something that's very close to your heart as well. When we say business protection, what do we actually mean?
So what we're talking about there is actually the same as you would protect your own life, your own circumstances. So you would take life cover, critical illness cover, income protection to protect against your own personal debts. So we're talking exactly the same thing for a business. If you've got a business, maybe there's two or three partners in the business or two or three directors in the business who aren't related, who all own, say, a third of the business each. What would happen if one of those shareholders died?
What would happen to their shares?
Unfortunately.
What would happen? Because their shares would automatically be inherited by their
spouse.
So there's a number of questions there. Does the spouse want to be involved in the business?
Do you want your business partner's spouse as a partner in your business?
Probably even more. That's it. There we go. Do you want the spouse walking in the next day and say, right, what's this business all about? What do we do here? I want to be involved now. You probably don't want that. So it's making sure that both sides are protected. Yeah. It's making sure two things. Number one, that the agreement is in place to make sure what you want to happen happens, which is called a cross-option agreement. Mm-hmm. Any good solicitor can arrange that for you. Mm-hmm. But then also, there's no point having an agreement if the money's not there.
Right.
To do what, to buy those shares.
Right.
So that's where I come in, and it's actually arranging the cover, and it can be life cover, it can be critical illness cover.
So that's an insurance-based product
Covers exactly you in that eventuality. Exactly the same as you would do for your mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's making sure it's there. Yeah. So it's protecting all sides. So it's protecting the other people in the business as well as you, and it's protecting your spouse as well.
Yeah.
You know,
and on a very basic level, for a self-employed person, critical illness cover is another insurance product that you don't even have to have a medical for necessarily. You can buy
an off-the-shelf
product that will cover you for, I don't know, let's say you're off sick for 3 months because you've fallen off a ladder or whatever it might be. It will pay you a certain amount of money per day.
That's income protection, So if you're self-employed, at the end of the day, if you're working for NatWest Bank, they'll pay you for 6 months if you're off sick.
Mm-hmm.
You're working for yourself, whether you're a sole trader, partner, director, who is going to pay your income if you fall off the ladder?
Yes,
if you're a tradesman. Mm-hmm. And it's become a lot easier as well. Traditionally, a tradesperson couldn't get income protection.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't cover them.
Oh,
but
okay.
We've now got specialist policies for tradespeople who designed for them.
Mm.
We've got specialist products for the health industry, health workers, because the NHS there, the way they work out how much income you get changes each year, the more years you're involved or you're working for the NHS. So we've got providers who specialise in that. So, all areas of income protection.
As we were saying with Terry earlier, you know, when you buy print remotely online, don't think that you can buy an insurance product online that's actually going to meet your needs.
No.
And if you do, make sure you read the small print because you need to know what you're actually buying at the end of the day.
Nobody's going to give you advice online.
Yeah.
And that's where we come in. We give honest, professional advice to our clients. We don't charge anything up front, any money up front, no fees up front. Yeah. Our advice is free.
At least with Terry, I guess, in that scenario, the disappointment is going to be kind of immediate because when you get your printed thing back that you bought online and actually the colours are all wrong or your logo's all fuzzy, you've bought bad.
That's
but
the
with
problem.
You,
yep, you don't know you don't, that you've bought bad.
Until you need it.
Until you want to claim.
And it's too late, isn't it?
That's it. Yeah.
Brilliant. Brian, we could talk all day about this. It is a fascinating area. It's great, I guess, from your point of view also to know that there is this safety net of regulation in the marketplace today because it means it's easier for people like you to do your job without having the kind of the stigma attached to financial advisors or mortgage brokers that perhaps there once was. I mean, that's the key thing, isn't it, really?
Definitely.
And your fees are very transparent. It's all up front.
All fees are transparent. They're disclosed up front.
Yeah.
And importantly, nothing is charged up front.
Mm.
You know, we only charge fees. We only take a fee if the business is written, if you like. So if we've done our job.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. It's the networking thing again, really, isn't it? It's a know, like, trust. We say it every show and at every networking meeting. It's just so much better, nicer and safer to deal with somebody that you see every 2 weeks or every week or whatever. And there's some recourse there.
Yep.
So we know you're based at Base Point in Dartford. We know there's a networking evening coming up there, which we could come and meet you at because you're going to. But I guess
you could always meet me at Dartford BBN as well.
Meet you at
absolutely
this Thursday if you could get in, which you can't.
You can get in.
So how else can we get in touch with you? I know you're very active on the Twitter.
Very active on all social media.
Right.
Have that managed for me. Any social media on the website, downtonandalley.com.co.uk.london, and probably another couple of versions as well. Just Google Brian Downton and I'll come up.
Brilliant.
Right at the top.
So. All good people are easy to find. I always say that.
Fantastic. Well, we need to, remarkably, we've run out of time on our first
surely not
extended show. We will be back in 2 weeks' time with two brand new guests.
Yeah.
So we look forward to everybody tuning in again. But in the meantime, thank you so much to Terry Seller.
Thank you very much.
From TIC Media and Design. And Brian Downton from Downton and Alley Associates for being our superb and incredibly knowledgeable guest today.
Thanks, guys.
Brian, thank you for co-hosting the show as always.
Oh, not at all, Martin. And thank you for being you, above all other things.
And we look forward to speaking to you again in a couple of weeks' time. We're going to play you out with some music. Thank you.